If the election of Donald Trump was an earthquake, his accomplishments since are the aftershocks no one saw coming. From best-selling author Stephen E. Strang comes Trump Aftershock, the seismic impact on culture and faith in America. Trump Aftershock offers unique insights that will cut through the media noise and reveal what they won't tell you. Gain a better understanding of the political, emotional, and spiritual dimensions at work in Trump Aftershock. Available where fine books are sold.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
If you've been watching the news, you know that they're having recounts down here in Florida for both our governor race as well as the U.S. Senate. And it's almost like a joke. Sometimes we will say, we're from Florida where your vote counts and counts. And of course, everyone remembers the famous recount in 2000, which I lived through. And now here we're going through it again in 2018. Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report. I have been thinking about commenting on the election recount, but have been hesitant because these are online a long time. Many of you will actually be listening to this long after the recount is history, and it's hard to do a podcast on something that is changing so much. But I decided that there were some behind-the-scenes stories that my readers and listeners would find interesting about the election down here in Florida, especially about U.S. Senator Bill Nelson, since I've known since the 1970s. And I thought it would give me an opportunity to opine a little bit and to give you my perspective and to share a few things that you might not have known. I am now doing these podcasts every single day. We accompany it with my newsletter, The Strang Report. If you like the Strang Report newsletter, I hope that you'll forward it along with the podcast to your friends because, of course, we're building up our list. It's interesting that I am now getting more listeners per podcast than I was getting for an entire month not too long ago, earlier this year. And I think that's partly because we're dealing with more topical topics and also because I'm doing it with more consistency and building up, hopefully, an audience. I listen to podcasts myself, mainly with people like Andrew Craven or maybe Ben Shapiro, and they will opine about things in the news. And I have been encouraged by several friends who wanted me to talk about the election. So first, let's start with Bill Nelson. He is from Melbourne, Florida. He has been serving in some elective office since 1972. First, he was a legislator in the Florida legislature. Then he was elected to Congress. He served a number of terms. In the 1990s, he actually ran for governor and lost, I was told, and I did not take time to research it, so it's just my opinion, I guess, that that was his only loss for public office. He then was commissioner of insurance here in Florida, which is a statewide office. In the early 2000s, he ran for U.S. senator and has been in for three terms. He and I had someone in common in the form of a mentor. His name is Jamie Buckingham. Back in the 70s and 80s, he was one of the best known and most respected leaders in the charismatic movement. He pastored a church called the Tabernacle in Melbourne. It wasn't really official, but Bill Nelson and his wife Grace used to go over to the Tabernacle. Now, they also attended another historic church downtown, but they kind of went to both churches, and that's really how I got to know Bill Nelson. He loved Jamie, as I did, and Jamie introduced us. And when I was in my 20s, believe it or not, I got the opportunity to shadow Bill Nelson for a day in Congress. It was a very interesting experience. I wrote an article in Charisma magazine about it. Back in that era, I was a registered Democrat. Here in Florida, the whole state was Democratic when I was growing up. It was really a holdover from the Civil War and Reconstruction, where all the South was Democratic, mainly because Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, and the whites in the South were Democrat. Of course, that has changed significantly since the 1960s, but there was a day when a lot of the elections in Florida were decided in the Democratic primary. And we had some people that I really respected. I remember Governor Askew and Lawton Chiles, both of whom who served as governor and as U.S. senator. And the Democratic Party was very, very different. It was much more conservative. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is a lot of people don't know that I was a Democrat for many years. But when I registered to vote, that was Roe v. Wade had not been decided yet. Gay rights, as we've come to know it, did not exist. It was not important at all. The issues that were important were things like race relations, and of course the Democrats were kind of at the forefront of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which is why most blacks in this country have switched over to the Democratic Party, whereas for almost 100 years they were mostly Republicans because of Abraham Lincoln. So, you know, all these things shift over time, and I know a lot of you know some of this. You may not know the specifics about Florida. Bill Nelson back in that era was basically a conservative Democrat. At least that was my impression of him. We were good enough friends that in 1984, when we built our first office building in Altamont Springs, he actually came and spoke at our dedication and ribbon cutting. He was a congressman at the time. He did it as a favor. Several times I endorsed him in whatever election he was running in. When Jamie Buckingham died in 1962, they had a private burial for just the family. There were only two couples that were not family members that went to the burial. I don't think it hurts after all these years to tell you this. It's not something that was widely publicized, but my wife Joy and I were there, and also Bill and Grace Nelson. So this just kind of shows the relationship between Jamie Buckingham and the Nelsons. But over the years, things began to change. I've already alluded to the fact that the Democratic Party changed. In the 1990s, I switched over from Democratic to Republican. I would be an independent if I could, but here in Florida, independents don't get to vote in any of the primaries. Where I live in Florida now in Seminole County, it is predominantly a Republican area, and many of the elections are decided or primarily decided in the primaries. In addition to that, my good friend Scott Plakin, who I consider my best friend, is a legislator in Tallahassee. He is very, very conservative Republican, a very respected legislator. He's been very active in the kind of legislation that we conservative Christians find very important. And he would not forgive me if I became an independent. So I'm just explaining that I am not real personally high on either Democratic or the Republican Party. But over the years, Bill Nelson has become more and more liberal. And I have only had a few interactions with him over the years. One time, he and I were on the same plane flying up to Washington. And, you know, he recognized me and we greeted each other. And then he began to kind of complain to me on why didn't I tell some Christian leaders who were very critical of him because they felt that he was not really taking the Christian stand on certain things, primarily abortion. And he said, "You need to tell so-and-so that, you know, I'm a Christian and he shouldn't say I'm not a Christian." And I just sort of quietly listened. I mean, I wasn't wanting to debate with someone like Bill Nelson, especially on an airplane. He was not impolite at all, but it just stands out in my memory. Another time I was in Washington with Christians United for Israel, and we were visiting the different senators. And of course, he's one of our senators, and I visited, and he has been very, very strong for Israel, very strong. In fact, the first time I ever went to Israel was with Jamie Buckingham back in 1979. We went to Israel, and then we went down to the Sinai, which at the time was controlled by Israel. It was one of the results of the Yom Kippur War. Later on, Israel gave the Sinai back to Egypt when they signed a peace treaty. Anyway, that was a very, very memorable experience. And the reason I mention it is on the trip before I went, Bill Nelson went on exactly the same trip. Jamie Buckingham made this pilgrimage several times. He also did a video teaching about the Sinai, which actually you could Google it. Jamie Buckingham's family has kept a website going with many of his materials and these videos about the Sinai, which I have recently come across again, and I was reminded on just how good they were. But the point I'm making is that Bill Nelson went with Jamie to Israel and developed a deep love for Israel. I believe it's very sincere. However, as the years have passed, those of us who are more conservative have been chagrined that he has become more and more liberal. And I don't really say that as a criticism, but as an observation. In fact, I've seen a lot of people go to Washington as conservatives and become more and more liberal over time. With this election, he is running against Governor Rick Scott, who I do not know nearly as well, but I have met him several times and I've supported him. He's done a very good job as governor. I believe he will be a very good U.S. senator. And unless something drastically changes, he will be in Washington. There's enough of a gap between the vote counts that is pretty certain he's going to go there. Now, here in Florida, we have a law that I think is a good law, and that is that if a race comes within 0.5%, there's an automatic machine recount, and if it's in 0.25%, there's a machine recount and a hand recount. And here in Seminole County, where I vote, and I think it's pretty widespread across the state, although apparently there are some differences because apparently Palm Beach County and Broward County have some antiquated machines or something like that. But here's what we do. We get a paper ballot, and everyone's name is on it for every election, from city council on up to governor, U.S. senator, or for president every 4 years, and also a lot of referendums. I think we had 12 or 13 referendums on the ballot this time, and there's a little circle by each one, and you fill in the circle with a pen, and it's easy to see that it's filled in, and then you put it into the machine, and the machine counts it. So the machines count, but if the machines are hacked or if they go on the fritz or they're tampered with in some way, they can go back to the physical ballot and recount it. I think it's a very good system where there's just an electronic thing. They can't go back and check anything. Now, the system is not perfect, especially when there's absentee ballots or people vote in advance or they vote by mail. You have to sign it and your signature has to match what is on what the supervisor of election has on file. We also have to present an ID when we vote, you know, either a driver's license or a passport. And I present it every time. I show who I am. And I take my elderly mother to vote. In fact, I even did a podcast, or I guess maybe it was a newsletter, and said, if my 90-year-old mother can vote, so can you. It's not easy for her to get out and vote. And of course, I take her. But, you know, I was encouraging people to go out and vote and also to help other people, maybe other elderly people that didn't have someone to drive them to the polls. I'm very concerned about what's happening with the vote count. There are very specific laws in Florida about how the early voting goes. I've started early voting. I specifically did this time because I was in New York City on Election Day. And I was on my book tour, and I knew I couldn't vote, of course, back here in Florida, so I voted in advance. And the supervisors of election are supposed to get all the ballots by mail. In fact, they're supposed to arrive by a certain time, I think at 7 o'clock on the day of election. So, in other words, it could come in the mail that day. If they're being mailed from a serviceman overseas or something, and it comes in the next day or the next week, it doesn't count. In the same way that if you don't show up at the polls between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., you can't vote. And I have voted in every single election in my life since I was 19 years old, which is how old I was when I registered to vote. They were dropping the age from 21, and now it's 18, and they were dropping it year by year, and it hit me when I was 19. And for whatever interest it is, for those who are interested in my story, I went down to the voter registration office in Alachua County, where I lived at the time. That's where the University of Florida is, in Gainesville, and registered on the very first day I was eligible. That just shows you how important I felt voting was as a 19-year-old. And since then, I voted in every single election except one. And that's when I showed up at the polls at 7:01 p.m. On my way home, I calculated I could do it at the last minute. And I calculated wrong. And guess what? They didn't let me vote. And it's because I made a mistake. And I think that if ballots don't get in, and at some point they need to have a cutoff. We can't be counting ballots in February hoping that an election will be changed. Now, if you've been following the news, especially the news about Broward County, where the election supervisor, Brenda Snipes' name has become a household name, she was very controversial. You know, you wonder in hindsight why she wasn't removed over some of the things she did, where she actually destroyed some ballots in a previous election that had to do with the Democratic primary. It wasn't even a Republican versus Democratic thing. And then if you listen to the news, and I believe that it's true that she was not allowing Republican observers to watch them with the recount, which means you don't know what's really going on. And then they were finding boxes of uncounted ballots. Isn't that suspicious? You know, here in Florida, I was starting to say it, they're supposed to turn these in 30 minutes at the end of the polls. They count the ballots. The polls close at 7, And by 8 or 8:30, many of the counties have already submitted the count on the different races. And certainly by 10 or 11 at night, they've done it. So why now has it been a week or 2 weeks to count ballots? I mean, they count them in a matter of minutes and hours on election day. That's how it's supposed to be. But Broward County and West Palm Beach County, or Palm Beach County rather, which is right next door, it's in Southeast Florida. It's a very, very strong Democratic area. But you know what? In a way, it doesn't matter. Many, many, many honest Democrats. But the Democrats have a reputation, maybe it's not fully deserved, that there's been a lot of voter fraud, you know, even going all the way back to the election of John Kennedy and some shenanigans that were going on in the state of Illinois. And nowadays, some Democrats are wanting non-citizens to vote. Hello? I mean, you know, you've got to be registered. You have to have an ID. There's all kinds of safeguards that we have that everyone votes once and their vote counts, but you can't vote many times. You can't make up votes. You can't fill in votes and with fake people's names on it and so forth. And, you know, this does not happen most places. We have a very good voting system in this country, but it does happen sometimes. And if the vote is very lopsided, in other words, one candidate wins by a substantial margin, these kinds of things don't come up. It's really when the elections are as close as they are, because if there's any kind of irregularities at all, the vote is going to go one way or the other. So I just thought that you might like some of my insight. I am active politically as a layperson here in the state of Florida, especially in Seminole County where I live. I have worked very hard to get certain people elected. It's usually people that I know pretty well, and I really believe in their values. I will tell you kind of a funny story, and it shows how important every vote is. We had a vacancy in Seminole County in our county seat, Sanford. It was a vacancy on the city commission, and so there was a special election. And when there's a special election, usually the voter turnout is very, very small. And a friend of mine, I'll say his name, Randy Jones, he actually served for many, many years. He stepped down. He wasn't defeated. He stepped down and did not run again. But I supported him, and I asked, what can I do? And they said, well, I could contribute, which I did. I could write a letter to the editor, which I did. And I could encourage people in my sphere of influence to vote for him. Now, you have to live in that district in Sanford. I think there was only like maybe 350 votes cast, and you had to literally live there to vote. So I asked around, and I guess maybe we found out what zip codes it involved, and I found out that I had three employees who lived in that district. And these are people I know pretty well. And I went to him and I said, look, I've known Randy Jones a long time. He's running against five people. He's a good man. I would really encourage you to consider voting for him. You know, no pressure, but I'm just adding my influence as I'm able to. I remember one of the employees said, well, you know, I appreciate you talking to me. He said, one of the candidates lives across the street from me and hasn't even bothered to come over and introduce himself. I found out later that they all three voted for him. I think they wanted me to know, so they told me. I called up Randy on election night, and I said, Randy, first of all, congratulations on your win. But I said, I'm really sorry. I couldn't do more. I think I was only able to influence three voters. And he said, I won by three votes. So, of course, I had no idea that the election would be that close. But it just shows that in many, many instances, a very few votes will make a very big difference. And I hope that when election time comes again, and it's different in different parts of the country, of course, the next big election will be the presidential election in 2020. But there's other kinds of elections, sometimes in the off years, or just really at different times during the year. I hope that you will vote. I hope that you don't take what I said about Senator Nelson as a criticism. I have a lot of respect for him. I believe that he is a sincere Christian. But I do have trouble understanding how a Christian can back some of the positions that he has backed. But he served our state well over the years. And in a way, it's sad that he has to be retired in quite this way. But I'm very optimistic that Senator Scott will do a good job in Washington. And I believe that he will support the policies of Donald Trump, which, if you've read my book, God and Donald Trump, or now the new one, Trump Aftershock, you know how I feel about that. In fact, let me give you a little plug, is just to encourage you to pick up the book. It's available at Walmart and Sam's and Costco and Barnes & Noble. Those are the ones that bought big, big copies. Of course, it's available in many other venues as well, including some airports, believe it or not. We just have been getting a very good response to the book, and I hope that you'll want to read it and that you'll pick up a copy. Of course, it's also available online. And also, I don't often say much about Charisma Magazine, but I hope that you read Charisma. Charisma's subscriptions have actually been holding up, and we've been getting some very good issues out, and people keep predicting that print is dead. Print is not dead. It's just that the media landscape has shifted. But Charisma Magazine, by God's grace, is strong and in many ways is continuing to grow. Of course, it's not just ink on paper anymore. It's multimedia. In fact, I was just meeting with the staff today with some new strategies that we are coming up with to serve you better, to serve the Spirit-filled community better, and to hopefully serve the Lord better by how we produce Charisma and the other things, including our podcasts. Our podcasts are growing, and we're getting good feedback on it, and people are wanting to be added to our podcast, and we're strategizing on how we can even grow that, and we have some other exciting things that it's too soon to announce. But this is a little catch-up, just me in the studio by myself, just sharing my heart about this election that I feel so strongly about, giving you a little inside baseball stuff about politics down here in Florida, and my own interaction over the years with Senator Bill Nelson and Governor Scott. I also knew Catherine Harris, who was Secretary of State in 2000. She was the one who had to, by law, verify the election. Of course, that one was the one that was so close between Al Gore and George W. Bush, and we all know how that came out. I haven't seen Catherine Harris in a while. I consider her a friend. She is also a great American and has served our state very well, although she is not in elective office right now. I heard her being interviewed on one of the news channels recently. They were talking to her, of course, about 2000 and how that kind of compares to the recount that's going on now. And it kind of brought back memories because I have supported her in various ways and visited her in Washington and wished that she would run again, really. She did a great job, but then some things happened in her life that caused her to back off and back out of public service. But let me wrap this up. This has kind of been fun. Opining about politics for a change. Usually we're talking about other sorts of things. I believe that there's a spiritual dimension in all this. I believe that God wants us to be involved. He wants us to stand for Christian principles. I'm believing that our country needs to get back to our Judeo-Christian roots. I believe that that is really the essence of what Donald Trump means when he says, make America great. It's really to go back to those basics and the things that have made America great in the past. So with that, I'll close. I'll thank you for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Tune in again tomorrow. And remember, if you like the podcast, share it with your friends. Thank you for listening. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.